Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I'm so thankful for you and thankful for my mom who's watching this morning from Texas. And listen, I learned a lot of lessons from my mom. She taught me a lot of things. One is how to deal with people. She is a people person, so never met a stranger. I've learned that from her. I learned how to, you know, when I went to college, I could wash my own clothes. I could iron my shirts. So she taught me that. She taught me how to use a microwave really well, which has paid dividends for me in my life. So just thankful for her. Listen, I know we learn lots of lessons from our mom. I was looking online this week, and so here's some more. Some lessons learned from moms. And see if these are familiar to you guys. Maybe these are some that you also learned. For example, right here, my mom taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would say, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mom taught me religion. You better pray that that will come out of the carpet. I like this one. My mom taught me about time travel. Amazing. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Anybody have that one? Anybody say it? Yep, there you go. My mother taught me logic because I said so. That's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Right? That's a good one. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. I still use that one actually. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Can't quite figure that one out. There you go. Let's see. What about this one? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. Oh, this is a good one. I'm pretty sure I can probably pinpoint the ones that have heard this from a mom. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Yeah. Yeah, you know who I'm talking to right there. I know some of those people. My mom taught me about anticipation when she would say, just wait until we get home. This is my favorite. I think this is my favorite of all time, and this is one that I think we can all identify with. And this is the favorite. My mother taught me about justice. One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Mom, they did. All right. Listen, we learned a lot of lessons from our moms, and they're great, great lessons. This morning, what I want to do is I want to take the story of a mom in Scripture and look at the lessons that we can learn. We're going to look at Hannah. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. We're going to be 1 Samuel chapter 1 and looking in really into the life of Hannah. Not a lot written about Hannah, just those first two chapters in 1 Samuel. But I think we can glean a lot of insight about lessons for life. Lessons that we can learn from Hannah. Now listen, as we read through Scripture, as we talk through these different lessons, I want you to know, and I say this whenever we have something like Mother's Day or Father's Day, whatever it may be, just because you're not a mom, listen, don't just shut down. If you're not a dad, you know, don't shut down, those kind of things. Everybody, these lessons for life that we can learn from Hannah for everyone. These are lessons that we can apply to our life today that can help in this journey of faith that we are on. So let's read a little bit about Hannah. 1 Samuel in chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12 and read 12 through 20. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? And this is what God's Word says in 1 Samuel. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, the priest, observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grants your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah and knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And as always, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would move mightily in this place and in our hearts, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Setting the context of Hannah's life, she was the second wife of Elkanah. And Elkanah had a first wife named Penina. And so the context of with which we read of Hannah was that she desperately desired to have a child. Penina had children. Therefore, she felt a little more, from what we can read in Scripture, more superior to Hannah. And so over the course of many years, Hannah felt the brunt of disappointment in her life. She felt like she was not up to par with the rest of the women. And so that didn't help any that Penina had children and was making it worse for her. So whenever they would go out, whenever they would do different things, Penina would make sure to ridicule her and make fun of her because she was barren. She had no children. So Hannah lived out some very difficult and tragic days. They were very hard for her. She was hurting. She was upset over and over again to experience the ridicule from someone else. It was difficult for Hannah to take. So what we read is for Hannah being a very persistent woman of prayer, going to the one that she knew all along had all the answers. And it wasn't Eli per se, and it wasn't necessarily her husband, but it was God. She consistently went to God, going before Him, speaking to Him and praying to Him with the request of her to have a child. Now the reality is this, is that her faithfulness and was always on par. She was always leaning into God, not turning her back on God, always remembering that her God was good and her God is faithful. So as we look at lessons from life, from Hannah, what we learn from her are several things. We can read this story and be truly encouraged from her story. As we think about what she walked through and how she lived out her faith in difficult days, in hard days. Now listen, as we read this passage, as we look at these life lessons, hear me in this. You may not be going through exactly what Hannah was going through. You may not be experiencing what Hannah was experiencing per se. You may not be the one that's dealing with not having children, but you may. You may be someone else that's dealing with other issues, but the reality is this. We can all find ourselves in some way, in some fashion, in Hannah's life. We can all find ourselves walking through difficult and troubling days in our faith. And so please, as we look at God's Word, understand that these lessons for life don't just apply to the context of Hannah's life, but it applies to the context of all of our lives. And so let's look at how Hannah walked through these difficult days, how Hannah walked through disappointment and tragedy in her life and hardship in her life, and let's apply this to where we are today. So the first thing, if you have your notes, go ahead and pull those out. But listen, what we find from Hannah that stands out above all things is that she knew who to go to. And I want to encourage you today, whatever you may be going through in life, whatever you're walking through, whatever that may be, understand this truth, we can take our burdens to the Lord. We can take our burdens to the Lord. Now listen, I know you're probably sitting there going, well, we understand that. It's not, boom, life-changing. But can I just remind you today that we are all walking through times, some difficult times, maybe it's some great times, but if you're not walking through difficulty today, someday you will. And I want you to hear and understand the truth that no matter what's happening in your life, No matter what you're experiencing in your life, you can take your burdens to the Lord. So let's look back in this passage. Let's look verses 12 through 15. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Have you ever been so entrenched in your prayer time with the Lord that you are accused of being drunk? I mean, that's powerful, powerful prayer. That's when you're so desperate for God that nothing else matters in life. You want Jesus in your life. Listen, that is prayer. And what we find is Hannah engaged in relationship with God, her God, speaking from her heart, so much so that her mouth was moving, no words were coming out, but speaking with her heart to the only one that could help her, and that was God. I love this. Now listen, it goes on, and one of the most powerful parts of this passage, listen, it says in verse 15, But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink." Now listen, "but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." Church, can I just tell you, moms, dads, men, women, students, kids, do you pour out your soul before the Lord? I think many times we miss the amazing peace and freedom that God has for us because we hold back. We try to do things on our own. We figure we can pull ourselves up with our own bootstraps. We can find the answers on our own. We can make it happen. But can I tell you, we should be so desperately in need of God in our life that we pour out our soul to Him. Where do we find the answers? Where do we find peace and joy? Where do we find freedom in our life? Well, it's from God. And so may we be willing to pour out our soul before Him. What an incredible picture of Hannah's devotion and commitment to her God and her desperation for God. Listen to what Scripture says when we begin looking about casting burdens. And we, in the context of 1 Samuel, we recognize her burden. Her burden was that she desperately wanted a child. Her burden was the ridicule that she was receiving from the outside world, which was causing anxiety on the inside. So that was her burden she was carrying. It was a very heavy burden. And so what she was doing was casting her burden to the Lord. Listen, we all have burdens in our life. You have burdens in your life. Some are heavier than others maybe, but they're all heavy burdens that weigh us down. Listen to what Scripture says. It says in Psalm 34, 17, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Listen, I love Psalm 55, 22. If you get a chance, you can even turn there right now. Psalm 55, 22, if you have your Bible, make sure you keep a thumb on the 1 Samuel. But Psalm 55, 22 gives us an incredible picture of what this looks like, this idea of casting our burdens and what this means for us. So Psalm 55, verse 22, and it says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Now, if you have a pen, get your pen out. I like to do this. Listen, I like to write up and circle, underline whatever we need to do. But look at, there's some words in Psalm 55, 22 that I want you to kind of focus in on, because I think it could be life-changing for all of us. The first one is this, cast. So what does it mean to cast something? Well, the original word is this idea of, think of it this way. So think of a snake. I know that's a bad thought, isn't it? Think of a snake shedding its skin. That's even worse, right? How many times have we walked into our garage and we see snake skin? Have y'all had that happen? Yeah, I'm selling the house. And so listen, think of the shedding of skin of a snake. Listen, that is the idea of shedding, casting. That's the picture we have. Now, for a snake to shed its skin, The skin is gone. It is removed. It is taken away. It is flung away. And the snake never comes back to it. This is the idea of casting for us. So it's getting rid of what's in your life. The burden that you're holding on to, the difficulty that's happening in your life, it is shedding that in your life and throwing that away, throwing it to Jesus, is what it's saying. Casting it to the only one that can help you. Throwing it to the only one that is big enough to handle the burdens in your life. So this is what this passage means. Cast your burden. Now this idea of burden, listen, it's the difficulties that the world brings to us in our life, these things that we experience in life that are hard. Again, Hannah's burden is different than many of our burdens in life today. Maybe your burden deals with your job. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's an illness. Whatever it may be, but we have this burden. Maybe it is sin, guilt, and shame that weighs you down. Listen, that is a heavy, heavy burden to carry. And so what Scripture says is to cast that burden onto the Lord. But here's my favorite word. And get your pen. You can circle it, underline it. It says, and He shall sustain you. I love that. Circle it, underline it. Listen, it's one thing to cast our burdens. It's one thing to throw them off to the Lord. But listen, in difficult and hard days, we recognize it's not about just the giving up of something and the taking away, but it's about the filling up that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we cast and we cast that burden onto the Lord, He sustains us. He provides for us. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live life on my own. I can't do it. The burdens are too great to bear in my life, and I'm sure the burdens are too great to bear in your life. So cast them away so that the Lord God can sustain you. Allow Him to provide for you. We see this in 1 Peter 5. It says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Listen, we can cast our burdens onto the Lord. We don't have to hold on to those anymore. They're pretty heavy and they're weighing you down. Listen, let's put this down in something very practical. It's not on your notes, but three little practical things. What do we do in order to really cast these burdens? One is just this, say it. What are your burdens? How often do you go before the Lord and you speak those burdens and talk about those burdens to God? Listen, this idea of humbling ourselves, this is a part of going to God in prayer and just speaking it and saying it. God, these are my burdens in life. This is what is weighing me down. These are the difficulties that I'm walking through. God, this is the hardship in my life. Listen, God knows. He just wants to hear it from you. So say it. There is power in this pouring out of your soul before God. But don't just say it. Shed it. Shed it. Surrender. Just cast it to Him. Spiritually, give it to Him. Let it go. And like the snakeskin, walk away from it. Let Him take over the burdens that are in your life. He's bigger, He's better, He's stronger. Shed it and surrender it to Him. But here's the last thing. Let's swap it. Swap it. And what I mean by that is this. Look, hand Him your burdens. Throw your burdens onto Him and replace it with Him. Fill your life with Him. And what I mean by that is this. Listen, swap lies for the truth. Swap world's wishes for God's promises. Swap guilt and shame for freedom and joy. Swap. Take what God has for you. Make a choice today to hold on to Jesus rather than the burden that is bringing you down. Listen, we can take our burdens to the Lord. But here's the next one. Number two is this. We must find our worth in the Lord. We must find our worth. And this is a lesson that, that I've learned from Hannah. Now listen, verse 16, probably one of the most disturbing, honestly disturbing verses for me. And listen, it says, "Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman." So let's look at the context of this. It's important. In that culture, in that day and time, society would say, if you're a woman and you did not have kids, then you're worthless. Let's step away from that a little bit. And let's look at the big picture for us today. Society casts all kinds of things our way, right? And so our thing may not be children. And, I mean, you may feel that way. I don't know. But listen, in our day and time, in our life, if you don't have the right job, you're not successful. If you don't have a good family, then you must not be a good parent. If you don't have a degree, then you must not be worth much. Our society does the same thing to us today. It may not be the same as what Hannah is going through, but listen, we experience these things all the time. And you may be out here today and you have been experiencing this in your life, and it's troubling and it's disheartening. You feel labeled by society because of who you are, and because of that you feel worthless in the same way that Hannah felt. Listen, you are not worthless. If you don't get anything else from this morning, if you walk out of here and you don't remember the three Baptist points, you know what I'm saying? If you walk out of here and that's not something that you take with you, I want you to hear this point. And it's so important because this could be the reason why you're here today. Moms, dads, students, men, women, this could be why you are here today. You are valuable. Listen, this could be why you're here. You need to hear that you are valuable. Listen, why and how is Hannah able to say, "Don't look at me as worthless"? Even though society was throwing that at her, how could she say, "Do not look at me as"? Why? Because her worth was not found in Eli. It was not found in her husband. Her worth was not found in family. Her worth was found in God. In church, can I tell you, you are valuable not because you have a perfect family, not because you have a perfect job, not because you have a degree, not because you make a lot of money, not because you are good looking. Listen, you are valuable because your worth is found in Jesus. Now let's look what Scripture tells us. Let's go over this. I know maybe this is review for you, but let's talk about it. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. You are created in God's image. You're valuable. Psalm 139, "You formed me. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Listen, you were knitted together by God. You are valuable. John 1:12, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Listen, if you're a believer today, you are valuable because you're a child of God. Listen, look in Scripture, the promises of God. As a child of God, you are always deeply loved. You're always blessed. You're forgiven. You're Spirit-filled. You're complete. You're God's masterpiece. You're set free. Listen, you are a child of God. You are valuable. So if you don't hear anything else today, hear those words. You have great value. And the lesson I learned from Hannah is that our worth does not come from exterior. But listen to the last thing. And I love this about Hannah, but listen, we should offer our best to the Lord. What's a lesson that we learn from her? We should offer our best to the Lord. Here's what it says in looking in verse 20. It says, "And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord." And this is what it says this too. I think this is where we find this idea of giving the very best. In 27 and 28, verse 27 and 28, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." So for Hannah, she desperately wanted a child, and she prayed, and she said, "God, if you would give me a child, then I will give him right back to you." You know what Hannah did? Listen, the most precious, the most priceless thing in her life, her child. That's what she prayed for all her life. You know what she did? She followed through. And she gave her son to the Lord. Listen, I don't know what is the most priceless thing in your life. I don't know what's the most precious part of your life. Listen, I think we all have finances. We all have those family, those kind of things. Listen, we have valuable things in our life, precious things in our life. Can I just encourage you, church, and just say it all belongs to Him? And that we need to make the same commitment that Hannah has made in our life. And may we are to commit our children to Him. They're blessings from Him. We are to commit our time and our efforts to Him because we've been given those as a blessing to God. We are to commit our finances to Him because everything we have is from God. Our gifts, our talents, all that we have is from God. So may we be willing to give everything, our very best, over to God. When you look in Scripture, what do you find? Listen, these are the biblical foundations of giving. This is what we find in Scripture. We're supposed to give the best, we're supposed to give the first, and we're supposed to give sacrificially. Listen, that's not just about money. That's about everything in our life. So can I encourage you today, moms, dads, students, everyone, can I encourage you today? Give your very best to God. Make that commitment today. Say, "God, today I'm going to give you my talents, the very best of my talents. God, today I'm going to give you the very best of my time. God, I'm going to give you my family. I'm going to give you my kids. They are yours. I'm handing them over to you. I'm giving you my very best." But listen, here's probably the greatest part of Hannah's lesson that we learned. She didn't just make the vow. She didn't just make the commitment. She followed through. Church, may we be people, a people of God, that don't just speak it, but we do it. We don't just commit with word, but we commit with action. May we be willing to follow through and to give God our very best. We're called to glorify Him in all things. When we think about what God has done and how God is working in our life, we should be thankful and grateful because, listen, He's still working just as strong and as much today as He did in Hannah's life. And we're called on to pray just as wholeheartedly and passionate as Hannah did. And we're called to give and to sacrifice and to live a life committed to our Lord in the same way. Listen, these are lessons for life. Moms, thank you for all you do. Man, you guys make huge sacrifices. Dads, same thing. Men, women in here, sacrificing for God. But can I just cast this challenge for all of us? And say, man, when we walk out of these doors today, may we be willing to live life like Hannah. May we be willing to pour out our soul before God, seeking Him above all things, committing everything to Him, following through so that the world might see Him. Lessons for life. Listen, we all need them. And they could be life-changing for you as they are for me. So may we commit today. Listen, our God is powerful. Cast those burdens. Don't carry them anymore. Let Him have them starting today. Make sure without a doubt that you recognize that you're valuable. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And then starting today, may you follow through with a commitment to God to give Him your very best, no matter what.